This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me once again. We'll hear first this week from FBI and Peace and War, their story titled Gray Matter from June 1st, 1955. After that, it's Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and the House of Mystery case, his story from December 10th, 1949.
The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Gray Matter.
And I'm no sooner behind the wheel when this fancy green Jag backs into me like I wasn't existing or something. A flash, and I'm on the street, moving on a driver, and I yell at him...
Hey, go easy on the fizz, will you? I want to drown. I drown in scotch.
Yeah. I yell at him, where do you think you are? We got laws for driving backwards. When what do? I see it's my old friend, Fancy Davies. I say at him, well, Fancy, for the love of Mike, what are you doing here in a non-resort? And you're driving one of those there Italian cars, besides.
Hey, only one Cuba ice.
Yeah. And he says at me, well, Perry, for the love of Mike, what are you doing here in a non-resort? And a Jag ain't an Italian, it's an English.
Charming repartee.
Liz. I mean, I'm telling you, this is important. This Fancy Davies is out of lady luck, I'm telling you. A regular walking file of every racket known to the police, the FBI, and even you and me.
Liz, honey, relax, huh? Do me a favor.
Yeah, you won't think it's such repartee when it saves Mace from shelling out 200 G's, not to mention a stretch into pokey. Oh, that's him now, Mace. I asked him to come over before dinner.
I haven't finished my drink yet.
You don't got to worry. This one's a down the hatcher from way back. Hello, Fancy. Come on in.
Good evening, Perry. I detect the aroma of good scotch whiskey. I'm not intruding, am I?
No, not on your life. We're expecting. Come in. Come on in.
Thank you.
Fancy, this is my boss, Mr. Mason. Mace, this is Fancy Davis. From here up, nothing but gray matter.
Hello, Davis. Mr. Mason, sir.
Fancy, let me fix your two fingers. I was just going to tell him about your professional career when you arrived.
Let him tell us himself, Perry.
Well, I'm delighted. Thank you very much, Perry. Mm-hmm. Well, there isn't much to tell, really. I'm a specialist by trade, only my specialty seems to offend our good gentlemen of law enforcement. And so I'm temporarily removed from the active play.
He's on the lam, Mason.
What's the specialty, Davies?
My specialty, Mr. Mason, is specialty. People in trouble come to me. They fail to extricate themselves. Their friends have failed. Their attorneys have failed. I make a complete study of the problem.
A complete study, huh?
Yes, and after it, I offer a way out that may be beyond one's ken, but is nonetheless perfection itself, guaranteed to be absolutely foolproof. You don't mind, sir, if I help myself to just one more swallow of this delightful scotch?
No, go right ahead. But I think you're only wasting your time. They got me coming and going. There's no way out of this.
They never have you when Fancy Davies starts thinking, Mr. Mason. You can put your mind at ease, sir. From here in, mine will take command. Cheers.
One of the smartest and most artful swindlers ever to come to the attention of your FBI was James Monroe Davies, born some 45 years ago in Shenandoah County, Virginia. Davies was well-educated, a brilliant law student who failed to matriculate in his final college year when his tuition money went to the horses instead of the registrar. Seeing this as a challenge, he abandoned his legal career for an illegal one that covered every known fraud. Common gossip had it, if Fancy Davies was in your corner, the opposition might just as well pack up and go home.
That's what I said, sir. Pack up and go home.
Uh-huh.
What did I tell you, Mace? Your worries are over. The crime commission can go jump in a lake.
Davies.
Yes?
You mean you've really figured an angle that'll pull me out of this thing?
Yes, I mean exactly that. Of course, there's a small price tag on it.
Don't worry.
$50,000.
$50,000?
It's worth it, believe me.
Whew. Now I know why they call you Fancy. You got big ideas, friend.
That's right, I have. And that's why I charge big prices. Of course, if you'd rather not hear the angle...
Okay, $50,000. Let's hear.
All right. I'm going to make this brief, sir, and to the point. I've been over the entire situation. I've spoken with Perry. I've spoken with Elizabeth. I've read all the material you gave me.
So?
So the long and short of it is this. Stop me where I'm wrong, please, sir. The Crime Commission has you over a barrel. Oh, you can worm your way out of the cash checks. Ditto the undeclared profits. But those tape recordings they've got will lower the boom, sir. And then some.
Telling me something.
As a matter of fact, I'm very surprised that you were able to find counsel to represent you. Mr. Mason, tell me, how in heaven's name did you allow those recordings out of your hands?
We didn't. It was that louse, Sal Levitin. Mace didn't even know there was a recording.
Oh, Sal Levitin?
Yeah, my ex-partner.
Oh.
The nerve of the guy. He didn't trust me. Took down every word from my mouth for 4 years, and after I treated him like my own, what does he do but go make a present to the DA, who was never my best pal to begin with?
Too bad.
Very too bad. Well, I still don't see nobody packing up to go home.
You will.
How?
On the day you're subpoenaed, your attorney simply walks into court with this briefcase and sets it down near the recording machine on display as evidence.
And?
And that's all.
That's all?
Simple enough, isn't it?
Maybe too simple. How does a nothing briefcase give them no leg to stand?
Obviously, your schooling failed to include the appealing subject of electronics, sir. Inside the briefcase, you'll find a powerful battery-operated electromagnet.
Electromagnet?
Battery-operated.
Yeah.
In the vicinity of the magnet, anything recorded on tape in a mere fraction of a second isn't.
What?
Completely erase it. Every single word. On the same principle used to erase the tape in the ordinary recording machine. Well?
Well, well. And well.
I'm telling you, am I right? Right out of Lady Luck. The guy has got it up here. All brain, I'm telling you. All gray matter. Am I right?
Wanted by the FBI for fraud and unlawful flight to avoid prosecution, James Monroe Davies, alias Fancy Davies. Description as follows. Height 6 feet, weight 180, age... Good morning. I'm looking for the ad department of Nebula Publications. Is it?
That's right. I'm Nebula. Also Big Dipper Publications, Fourth Dimension, and Milky Way. We put out all four. What can I do for you, mister? I'll give you a nice price on a full-page spread.
My name's Stevens, FBI.
And my name... FBI, huh? Well, sit down. What's on your mind?
This ad on page 12 of your January issue. Are you familiar with it?
I haven't got my glasses.
Right next to the factual story by Dr. Kingman.
Oh, sure. A practical plan for interplanetary television.
Are you familiar with it?
I should be. I wrote it.
You're Dr. Kingman?
The pseudonym. I knock off half the yarns in the mags under different suits. Aliases, I guess you'd call them.
Are you familiar with the advertisement, not the story?
What's it say?
It says, "Don't let next Christmas be empty as the last for our young homeless ones. Send your old tape recorders and electromagnets to Pastor Davies' youth home. Care of Nebula Magazine. Electrostatic generators especially needed."
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Do you know anything about the man who took the ad?
Pastor Davies? No, why should I? Man like that does such fine work with the kids, you don't ask questions. He paid his bill, we sent what come in, and that was that.
You have his forwarding address, don't you?
I'd have to look it up. January issue, huh?
That's right.
It'll be right here in the files. What's all the excitement? Pastor Davies isn't Pastor Davies?
Oh, quite the opposite.
Here we are. Davies. Oh, no, that's Murdoch. I can't see a thing without my glasses. Here we are. That says Davies, don't it? Pastor Davies, all mail and articles to 429 South Avenue in Brooklyn.
Well, that's where I found the magazine. Anything else?
After March 1st, the Beekman Hotel in Chicago to be held until called for.
All right, that may help. Thanks for your cooperation.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Say, where do you suppose he is now, Davies? What I mean, a meatball like that isn't going to hang around one place too long.
If I knew the answer to that, I wouldn't be here. But I'll tell you one thing. When I catch up with him, he'll be sweating it out in court.
All right now, Mr. Mason, suppose we leave undeclared profits for the moment and turn to the subject of those cash checks.
Okay, Your Honor.
Mr. Mason, may I remind you again, I am not your honor. Counsel here in this instance is only serving the committee and should be addressed as neither judge nor jury.
Okay, I get you.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Mason, what I'm getting at is this. During one period of this more or less continuous operation...
What page of the testimony are you referring to?
Page 226. Checks were being cashed at your establishment, Mr. Mason. So far as I can see, checks were being cashed at the rate of close to $500,000 a month. And it would seem to me that if that many checks were...
Now, the chair is going to have to ask the attendants to clear this meeting room unless I have the cooperation of the people here. This is not staged for your amusement. Please remember that and refrain from outbursts of any kind. I'm sorry, Mr. Verdahl.
It would seem to me that if that many checks, at least during that period... I mean to say that you must have been making a lot of money. Wouldn't you think so, Mr. Mason?
Well, now I have an in-law in the laundry business right here in the city. I don't know the exact address, but what I want to point out is...
Mr. Mason...
May I continue? I got the floor. I mean...
Yes, go ahead.
Well, what I want to point out is, he told me, my in-law, he told me that somebody, he don't even gamble, he was in Miami, you know, and somebody come to visit him. I don't think he ever got a parking ticket in his whole life, not even one. No, he's a fine, honorable man. But what did he do? Well, he took his guests out to eat, and he cashed a check in one of those gaming houses there because he discovered he didn't have his wallet on him in order to pay the bill, pay the tabs, or what it's crowd, what they all eat, you see?
Yes, but what is that?
Well, they know him at the place, they know who he was, but he had to cash the check in, of all places, a gaming house. So you see? And the character don't even gamble.
Well, Mr. Mason, if this is going to be your attitude throughout this...
Well, listen, only too glad
if it
I'm
is,
on the stand sworn
really
in.
Small
and even if it hurts, I got to tell the truth. None of that
questions.
Tending to incriminate malarkey.
Instead
what?
Instead, Mr. Chairman, I should like to have placed the tape recording introduced earlier as evidence. And I'm confident that it will speak for itself and make clear what Mr. Mason is so obviously attempting to hide.
Exactly. What is this recording?
Conversations fully pertinent to the issue here. Conversations between Mr. Mason and his partner, ex-partner, Sal Levitin.
The chair has no objection. I'm assuming the conversations did not take place over the telephone.
That is correct.
Chair has no objection. Does Mr. Mason object?
Well, certainly not. I got nothing to hide. Go right ahead. Don't mind me.
Well, thank you. All right, Harry. Now, this first voice is that of Mr. Mason. Wait a minute, Harry. Did you start in the right place? Well, here, let me. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. We'll begin again. This does it, Harry.
All right now?
All right, sir. Mr. Mason's voice.
What's wrong there, Mr. Verdahl?
Well, I don't quite know. It was playing perfectly. Something is wrong, sir. I don't quite know what it is.
Yes, gentlemen. Good evening.
Good evening. We're looking for a man named Davies, James Davies, or he might be using the name Monroe. My credentials.
Well, yes, we have a Mr. James Davies in 1012, but I'm not at all certain that he's in just now. Would you like me to check?
Would you do that, please?
Certainly, if he's in.
We'll see him now. If he isn't in, we'll see he gets a warm reception as soon as he gets back.
Did you see that DA's face when he came up with the double O? Honest, I thought I'd... Let it cut.
You and me both. And then when the chairman calls for help, and the repair guy says, the tape's a blank.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was really beautiful.
Well, thank you, man. I'm telling you, tears come down my cheeks. So help me, tears. First, he should have gone in for the stage. I mean it.
Yeah, my hat's off to you, Davies. You really come up with the brass ring. Here I go in expecting the axe, and I walk out with all the marbles. Yeah? And no fooling. The look on that DA's puss was worth the price of admission alone. Hey, Perry, how's about another one of these straight?
Well, I'm very glad you're satisfied, Mr. Mason.
Satisfied?
I like to leave my clients happy. And by the way, sir, speaking of the price of admission...
Yeah. Here you are. All tucked away in this envelope, ready and waiting for you.
Thank you.
Hey, what's the matter? You don't trust me?
Oh, sir, now, really?
Well, how do you like that? He don't trust me. How do you like that?
Sir. I don't.
Huh?
Here you are, miss. Straight.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't?
Just that.
First guy I know don't like the General Washington.
Oh, I like him fine. Only not 15,000 of them.
What's the matter? They counterfeit or something?
Not counterfeit, Perry. They're just 35,000 short.
That's so?
Our arrangement was for 50,000, Mr. Mason. Apparently, there's been an oversight, so if you'll just...
Davies.
Yes?
No oversight.
No?
No. I talked this out with myself real careful. I decided 15 was the right figure. I decided the tape's erased. What can you do?
I see. You decided. And you, Elizabeth, do you think 15,000 is right?
I know one thing. Offer me 15, that's all.
Perry, what about you?
He's with me.
That right, Perry? You with him?
Well, 15 is still a lot of cash, Fancy.
Yes.
Take the 15, Davies.
Very well.
You'll take it?
I will.
No hard feelings? You're not sore?
Oh, on the contrary. You've done me a great favor, sir.
Yeah?
Here I was suffering the most violent feelings of guilt, and all the time...
Guilt
was...
about what? What are you talking about?
Well, how would you feel, sir? If they caught up with you, and to save some of your skin, you agreed to cooperate by turning in your friends.
Mace, I'm not sure I know what he said, but I'm sure I don't like it.
Knock off. Who caught up? What are you talking about?
Bet I know.
I said knock off, the both of you. Davies.
They. That's who. They caught up. The FBI.
I'm getting out of here.
Hurry.
He's got an up his sleeve, Mace. I know the guy.
Davies, if that noggin of yours is spinning overtime, forget it. Well, that's a piece of warning.
Too late.
Don't say that.
It's never too late.
It is now. Every word you've said is immortally inscribed on tape, sir. Microphone right here under my jacket. The FBI right outside that door.
What?
Bluff. Easy to find out.
All right.
Hurry. Open the door.
Me?
You.
What if he means?
Open the door.
Is anybody there? Nobody's out there.
Open it.
Me?
Yeah, you.
There's somebody out there. FBI.
That's right.
This way, gentlemen. Take him away.
Why, you low skunk, Davies. You really did it.
I really did, didn't I?
Of all the rotten, crummy stunts that I ever heard.
Mason. Come on, let's go.
Just a minute. Just a minute.
What for?
He's got something belongs to me. 15,000 in cash.
The man's obviously deluded. I've been paid for services rendered. Let's have the 15, Davies. It's all on tape. Let's have it. Ready, Mason?
You know something, Fancy? I'm surprised at you. I'm really surprised. Turning in your best friend, practically.
I'm sorry, Perry.
Brother, you don't know how sorry. Not till we meet up again, you don't know.
Mason?
And you too, Perry. All brain. Gray matter. Right out of Lady Luck.
I'm telling you, can I help it? I'm a mind reader or something, maybe?
Stow it. Okay, Badge Happy. I'm ready.
Profiting from past experience, the United States attorney took no chances in prosecuting James Monroe Davies. Tried separately, he was convicted as charged and sentenced to a 10-year term in the penitentiary at Atlanta. In consideration of his aid in the apprehension of Mason and Perry Beamer, however, this was subsequently reduced by 4 years. Mason and Beamer pled guilty to the conspiracy charge and are currently serving out terms totaling 17 years. All in all, it was a black day for gray matter.
In tonight's story, Paul McGrath played the part of Fancy Davies, and Walter Grisey was Mace. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Thank you.
We pause now for station identification.
Portions of the following program are transcribed. Here is Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Are you Mr. Diamond?
Creditor or client?
I'm a client.
I'm a Diamond.
I'm Glad.
It's a little informal, but hello, Glad. Call me Rick.
Oh, no. My name is Julia Bates.
Mrs.?
Yes, but you don't have to call me Mrs. Bates. I'm a widow, you see.
Oh.
In fact, it may help our relationship if you call me Julia.
Oh, well, here we go again. All right, Julia, you can call me Rick. The fee's $100 a day in expenses.
I want you to stay at my house tonight.
I said $100 a day in expenses.
Oh, the fee is all right, Mr. Rick. Money means nothing.
Yeah, well, you think your way and I'll think mine.
I'll make out a check right now.
No hurry. Anytime in the next 10 seconds.
Hmm. Oh, there.
Thanks. Now, about this assignment.
Well, it may sound silly, but I'm afraid of the house I live in.
Oh, dandy.
I said it might sound silly,
mm-hmm.
but it's deadly serious, I assure you.
No, I'm sure it is.
You see, my husband, Warner Bates, died 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very strange man and believed devoutly in many forms of mysticism.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he built this house as a monument to his beliefs and filled it with secret passages and rooms and steps that lead nowhere.
Why not move out?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest. It's because of the money.
Oh.
In his will, Warner stipulated I was to live in the house for a period of 3 months following his death. 3 months is up tomorrow. And it doesn't help that Warner is buried in the basement vault.
What's he doing, watching Benny's money?
Well, he had a crypt built in the cellar, and a key, the only key to it, was placed in his coffin.
Mm. What's supposed to happen tonight?
Well, let me tell you the whole story. A month ago, I began to hear the strangest things in the house at night, and I found food half-eaten on the kitchen table.
Ever try setting traps?
Well, the worst shock came when I went to the cellar a few days ago. I found footprints in the dust, naked footprints, leading to and from the crypt.
Maybe he had to take a shower.
Oh, please let me finish. On his deathbed, Warner swore he'd visit me at the end of the third month, and if he could, take me with him back to the spirit world.
Oh, and tonight is the night.
Yes. Mm. At first, I didn't think it would get me, but... No, I'm scared. Really scared.
Yeah, well, now look, baby. Let's get off this mystic kick. Who inherits if you don't live up to your requirements?
Well, that's just it. No one. That is, no person. That the money goes to charities and schools.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Anderson, the executor of the estate, says the will is foolproof, legal, and binding. Either I live in the house until noon tomorrow or forfeit the inheritance.
So what you wanted me to do is hang around tonight and see that hubby doesn't go deathwalking.
Yes, that's right. You don't have to be there till dark, but... Oh, don't be any later than that. Say, 6 o'clock?
Excuse me. Diamond Detective Agency, freewheeling corpses. Ask the man who kills one.
Rick, when are you going to stop those awful slogans?
Oh, hello, Helen, baby. Got to call you back, got a client.
All right. Is she pretty?
I don't know. I'm parked behind a curve.
What?
Oh, forget it. I'll call you back. Bye. Now, Julia, you better go on home. Where's your broom?
Broom? Do you think I look like a witch?
You don't look like one. More like the good fairy if she'd heard about men. Now, you fly on home, sweetheart, and I'll see you at 6.
Don't be late.
I'll be there with bones on. I tried to uncurl my toes and get my mind on business. Thinking of my spook client didn't seem to help, but it was business. It was getting pretty late in the afternoon, so I put the office to bed for the night, picked up a bite to eat, and went over to the 5th Precinct to keep a coffee date with Lieutenant Levinson. When I walked into the squad room, I spotted Sergeant Otis with his nose in a book. Now, hello, Otis. What's with the book? Don't tell me you're learning to read.
Hello, Shamus. How's tricks?
The book, Sergeant. What's the book?
A book? Or what book? Oh, Lieutenant's inside. He said for you to go right in when you came.
Otis, tell Uncle Richard about the book.
Oh, it's just a book. Yeah, I was trying to improve myself.
Well, don't feel ashamed, Otis. You've got reason to do that.
Yeah, very funny.
I see. The art of graceful dancing. Otis.
Well, what's wrong with me dancing, Shamus? I don't want to be no social outcast.
Dancing? Well, maybe. But graceful? Otis, you couldn't be graceful even if your feet did match. Tell you what, though, I'll give you a hand. Now, just open your arms and pretend you have a dame. Go on, I'll start you on a waltz.
Well, okay.
Da da dee dee dum, tweet 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 tweet. Da da. Oh no! Otis, you look like an elephant with sprained ankles. Now try again and close your eyes. Ya da dum dee 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 dee.
Otis, where's Ripper?
Otis, put me down.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Lieutenant. I thought you was a dame.
You what?
I mean, I had my eyes closed. I was dancing. Oh, Lieutenant, the shamus talked me into it.
Rick, would you mind telling me what you were doing?
Saving Arthur Murray ulcers.
Yeah, well, come on in and get some coffee. And Otis.
Yeah?
Shut up.
Shall I pour? Please do. You know how I like mine, Walt.
Yeah, no cream, 12 lumps.
Better change that.
I would think so. Okay, how many?
Make it 14. Your coffee's stronger than mine.
It's not so strong, Rick.
Here. Thanks. You better wipe that spot off the desk. The varnish is beginning to smoke.
Your jokes aren't any better. Going to stick around for the heart game tonight?
I can't, Walt. I've got a client with a house full of spirits.
What?
The dead kind.
With you on the job, there'll be corpses jumping out of every window.
Yeah. Well, if they start, I'll give you a call.
I know. Why don't you give up being a detective, Rick? Play postman or something.
Walt, you just don't seem to appreciate my favors. I'm getting late. It's nearly 6.
It's a peaceful night, Rick. See if you can't keep it that way.
Oh, sure, Walt, sure. This is one night you can take it easy. Give me 2 more lumps, please. Leaving Walt and heading to the Bates house, I was feeling as happy as a bird in a hat full of worms. I had $100 to stall off the landlord, a lovely red-headed girlfriend with curves, and a spook client with, trouble. Everything great. Then the storm began to blow up. It had started to rain when I saw the Bates house on Temple Street. A big, ugly house straight out of a horror story, with gables and shuttered windows. And as if that wasn't enough, I was met at the door by a butler who was a tiny thing, about 7 feet tall and 300 pounds, with a face like the devil with a hangover.
Come in.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to see...
Mrs. Bates, of course. You are Mr. Diamond.
She left word with you?
I need no word. I am the seventh son.
Of a what?
The seventh son.
Of a... Oh, no, this could go on forever. Okay, lead on.
The name is Kane.
Yeah? How's your brother?
What?
Forget it. Where's your... Mrs. Bates?
In the drawing room. This way, sir.
Cozy little mausoleum. What time do the ghosts come out?
Usually right after the vampires, sir.
Oh, dandy. I hope they have an early show.
Oh, it will be soon enough, sir. The dead are restless tonight.
Maybe if I rocked them to sleep, I... Got a rock?
Mrs. Bates. Mr. Diamond.
Oh, thank you, Kate. Hello, Rick. How do you like my house?
Oh, it's lovely. What do you use for doorknobs? Heads? And what's with the big zombie? You didn't mention him.
Kane? Oh, he's a fixture around here, but I get frightened more when he's around than when he's gone.
Well, now you take it easy, baby. Come on over and sit down and let me chase those fears away.
Oh, that is an idea.
Name me a better.
Can I fix you a drink?
Oh, I think I'll take a glass
of milk, sir. Here you are.
Oh, now, hey, look, Crusher, put a bell around your neck or something. One more surprise like that, and you'll be best man at a funeral.
My apologies. Your milk, sir.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Come on, Julia, let's get back to where we were. And you, Kane, you... Hey, where'd he go?
Rick, there it is.
Huh? Yeah.
That's the way it starts. Listen. It's the stairs to the cellar. Someone's climbing them.
What? Oh, it's probably Kane.
You wanted me, sir?
Kane? Then who... You wait in here, Julia. I'll go out and get our nosy friend.
The cellar door is at the end of the hall.
I left Julia looking as nervous as a one-legged man walking a tightrope and took off down the long hall. There was only one door, the one to the cellar, so I opened it and flipped on the switch. I was moving my ankles down the creaking steps when I heard trouble.
What the devil? Julia! Julia! Are you hurt? What is it?
Rick! Rick, over there in the closet! A dead man!
Oh, no. There's no dead man in here.
Not there. But I saw him, Rick. I swear there was a man in there. He was all bloody, and there was a big knife in his chest.
Oh, but you must have been mistaken.
About a corpse? Rick, he was there.
Well, I don't see... Oh, wait a minute. You're on the floor, bloodstained.
You see, there was a man in there.
This is blood, all right. But where'd the body go? He couldn't have been moved that fast. Unless... Where's Kane?
Right here, Mr. Diamond. But I did not move the dead one.
No? Where were you just now when Julia screamed? Having tea with a vampire?
No, I was in the kitchen, sir. Do not be mystified, Mr. Diamond. Accept the fact that you are in a house controlled by the other world.
There's been a murder, Kane, and that brings it into this world.
But who are you calling?
A real-life cop who likes to know about dead bodies kicking around.
Lieutenant Levinson, homicide.
Walt, Rick.
Oh, no. I know that tone. Where's the body?
I wish I knew. Come on over to 209 East Temple Street.
Wait. What do you mean you wish you knew? Is there a body there?
Well, it's here someplace. Now, don't argue. Get over here.
Wait.
And hurry. Now, Kane, you can go back to the kitchen, but stay there. Don't roam around.
As you wish, sir.
And now, Julia, baby, we're going to do some investigating.
Investigating?
That's right. I got to begin to see what's in that vault downstairs. And this time, I'm taking you with me.
But, Rick, it's locked.
I hope so, but I'm not making book.
You mean you think it may actually have been Warner come back from the dead? And kill that man, I mean?
Right now, I don't know what to think. I wouldn't be surprised to run into Dracula sitting on top of the Wolfman. Here's the basement. Hey, who turned out the light? I know I turned it on before. Yeah, that's better. Come on.
Oh, Rick, it's cold down here. Oh, hurry, Rick. I'm getting scared.
Yeah, I don't like the feel of it myself, but I want to check this vault.
See the footprints there in the dust?
I see them, but I don't believe them. Not yet. Yeah, I'll try the door of the vault.
Why, it's unlocked.
Yeah, look what's inside.
The coffin is empty.
It's empty, all right, and it's open.
Well, are you going inside?
No. I think I'll stay out here.
The light! Rick, who put out the light?
It wasn't Edison, baby. We got company.
Julia. I told you I'd come back for you.
Warner?
Hey, what is this?
I am dead.
Oh.
You know who I am, don't you, Julia?
Yes. Huh? Yes, I know it's you, Warner.
I'm coming for you tonight, Julia. I will appear at 9 o'clock.
I'd better set my watch.
Be prepared to meet me, Julia, at 9 o'clock.
No, Warner, no.
Take it easy, baby.
Rick, you down there?
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, Walt, turn on the lights.
Sure. They're on. Rick, what are you doing? Oh, a blonde. I should have known. Well, do come upstairs and join me.
We're coming off.
Now, what is this all about, Rick?
Wait a minute, Walt. Otis, help Mrs. Bates into the living room. She's pretty shaken up.
Sure, Shamus. Come on, lady.
Now, what is this all this about, Rick?
Now, come on back downstairs with me, Walt, and get your gun out. Somewhere in this cellar is a dead man with a lousy sense of humor. We searched the long cellar but good while I briefed Walt on the events of the evening. Neither was much of a success. Walt didn't believe me, and our ghost remained a ghost. As we went back up into the living room, I was at a point where I didn't believe the things myself. They couldn't have happened, but they had.
Hey, Otis, where did Mrs. Bates go?
She went upstairs to pack, Shamus. Said she was going to leave.
Leave? And give up her dough? Oh, for Pete's sake, she can't... Not just because of this ghost house.
Ghost house? Oh, this is the wackiest yet. Rick, if I didn't know you were so...
Walt, do I look like I'm happy about these things? I'm at a point where I'm believing in spooks and spirit worlds and dead men who talk from out of nowhere.
Yeah, so the Shamus is afraid of spooks. This I'm loving.
Otis.
I know, Lieutenant. Shut up.
Did I say that, Otis?
Well, no, Lieutenant. What do you want me to do?
Shut up!
Oh. Gee, I wish I had a glass of...
A glass of water, Sergeant.
Oh, come out from behind that chair, Otis. It's only Kane.
Who's he?
Well, didn't he let you in?
No, we found the door open. When we rang and no one answered, we came in.
Oh, did you? Hey, Kane, where were you? Didn't you hear the doorbell?
I knew the door was open, Mr. Diamond. And I was busy.
Like maybe playing ghost?
No, sir. Baking a cake.
Cake? Oh, swell.
I'm all packed. Will you take me to a hotel?
Now, but Julia, look, you can't leave. Think of the money.
Money or no money, I'm getting out of here, Rick. That was Warner's voice, and I just don't have the nerve to stay.
Oh, but look, baby, you know there aren't any such things as ghosts.
Do I? You were in the cellar with me. You heard him. And did you find anybody down there afterwards?
Well, no,
but just a minute, Mrs. Bates. You saw a murdered man earlier this evening, didn't you?
You know I did, in that closet.
Yeah, well, until I find out who he is and who killed him, you don't leave this house.
But Warner...
I'm sorry, Julia. We'll protect you, but you can't leave.
Otis, take Mrs. Bates into the library and make her comfortable.
Hey, Yellowton, come on, Mrs. Bates.
Now, Rick, enough is enough. How could there have been a body in that closet 1 minute and not the next? Where did it go and why?
Well, how the devil should I know? She saw it, screamed, I ran back, opened the closet, and it was gone.
Oh, great.
Now, come on. I want a better look at that closet. Well, looks all right. Wonder how it sounds.
Use your gun butt on the walls.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, but where's the latch? Must be some way to open this section.
Try those hooks.
Yeah. No, not them. Maybe this rack.
Hey, look. Secret room, just like in the movies. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, we found the corpse, Walt. And how he disappeared so fast.
Oh, some mess. Blood all over him.
Walt, hey, this is no corpse.
What? Oh, now, don't start that.
No? Well, look at it closer, Walt. It's a dummy.
Well, it is. A wax dummy with blood smeared on it.
No wonder I wasn't meant to see it.
Oh, this is it. I'm getting out of this crazy house. Corpses that talk, corpses that aren't corpses. I've had enough. This is just plain ridiculous.
Now, wait, Walt. Someone planted this dummy, and someone is trying to scare Mrs. Bates out of this house. That same someone is in this house right now, and if he isn't stopped, it may mean her murder. How are you feeling, Julia?
I'm exhausted, Rick, but I...
We found the body, Julia. It was a dummy.
A dummy? Well, then there wasn't any murdered man?
No, this whole thing is a bluff, even that voice in the cellar.
Oh, no, that couldn't be. That was Warner's voice, Rick. I know it was. And he's not in his coffin.
I know, baby, and I think that's all phony, too. Now, tell me, who knew of that only key in the coffin business?
Well, just myself. And Mr. Anderson.
Anderson?
Oh, that's right. You remember, he was Warner's lawyer.
Oh, yeah. How about Kane? Did he know of the key?
Well, I don't know, Rick. He may have Warner confided in him a great deal.
Rick, this isn't getting us any place. Come with me. Otis, you stay with Mrs. Bates.
Yellowton.
All right, Walt. What are we going to do, grill the dummy?
Go ahead. Be funny. But I want to search this whole house.
Oh, Walt, this place is a nut house full of secret rooms and hocus pocus. It'd take two maps and a Ouija board to get around in it.
Well, I'm going to get around in it, and up these stairs is as good a place as any to start.
Hello, Walt.
Oh, stairs that lead to a blank wall. Rick, that's too much.
Now, would you stop playing games?
Playing games, he says. Oh, where is my bicarbonate?
Here you are, Lieutenant. Sorry to be late.
Where's the thunder, Kane? You missed your cue.
Will there be anything else, sir?
I don't see how, sir. Not unless Frankenstein drops in for a game of jacks.
I doubt if he will. Tonight it's at his house, so I'll be on hand if you need anything.
We won't. Go on back to your embalming. Come on, Walt. You feeling okay?
Oh, I'll never feel okay again. Rick, I've stood for your getting me mixed up in some crazy cases, but this night I'll never forget.
Oh, don't quit on me now, Walt. We still have to find that spook and keep Julia from being killed.
How? Please, tell me how.
Look, He said he was going to appear at 9 o'clock tonight to take her to the spirit world with him.
Yeah, well, I'll get a squad down here to see that he doesn't.
No, no, Walt, wait. He'll never show up if we're all hanging around, right?
Well, yeah.
And the only way we can catch the ghost is for him to show up, right?
Yeah, go on. So what do we do?
So we pretend to leave, make a big fuss about giving the whole thing up. Then we sneak back in and hide. We wait and see if he shows up, and when he said he would, and if he does, we nab him.
Case closed. Well, it sounds screwy, but to wind this case up, I'll buy anything. Where do we hide?
We'll get Julia to wait in the living room. We'll sneak back and hide in that secret room behind the closet. If the ghost shows, we can grab him as soon as he gives himself away. And I think he'll show. After getting Julia to agree to the idea, Walt Otis and I made a big thing about leaving the house. Then we sneaked back in and hid in the secret room back at the living room closet. The closet door was open enough so we could see Julia pretending to read on the couch. And for the next few centuries, we waited. Waited for a dead man to keep a date.
What time is it, Rick?
It's 9:02. If he's going to show, it won't be long.
Hey, you think a dead man really can come back to life?
If you don't shut up, Otis, I'll give you a personal chance to try.
I wish he'd hurry.
Yeah. Well, it's just time now. I hope Julia plays her part okay. She looks pretty nervous.
No, why would she be nervous? She's only waiting for a dead man.
A phony dead man, Walt, I hope.
Now, don't you start believing in ghosts. You know there aren't any such
things.
Rick, the lights went out. Shh, listen.
I told you I would come for you, Julia. It is 9:00.
Oh, Warner, please don't take me. I don't want to die.
Rick, that's him.
Shh, wait a minute, Walt.
I am the dead, Julia. I am your husband.
Yes, I know you, Warner.
You must leave this house, Julia.
No.
Come on, Walt. Right. And Otis, be quiet.
Oh,
I will. I know enough not to make any noise.
What was that?
Rick, hurry!
Come on, let's grab him. We all took off after the ghost. It led us on the screwiest chase yet, in and out of the secret passages, upstairs, and then back downstairs again. Trying to lay hands on him was like trying to swat a fly with a piece of string. He finally made a break for the outside door. Then, not to be outdone, I made like a big athlete.
Hey, that was a pretty nifty tackle, Diamond.
Rick, you okay?
Yeah, as soon as I get this hood off, I'm going to have a few words with this spook. There.
He's out cold.
Otis, bring Mrs. Bates in here.
Oh, okay.
Come on, you. Wake up.
Who is he?
I don't know. Come on, wake up. Before I make a real ghost out of you.
Okay, don't hit me anymore, please.
Yes, she is, Lieutenant.
Mrs. Bates, do you know who this man is?
Why, it's Warner's lawyer, Mr. Anderson, the executor of the estate.
Sure, baby, had to be. All right, Buster, what's the story?
All right. It was the money. If I could get Julia to break the will, I had a dummy charity set up so I could get the estate.
He's all yours, Walt. Wrap him up. It'll be a pleasure. Otis, put the cuffs on him. Take him out of here.
Yeah, Lieutenant. Come on, Spooky.
Well, that takes care of that. Hey, what about Kane? He must have known about all this.
Of course I knew, Lieutenant. But I did not wish to intrude. Those who interfere with the dead pay their own penalty.
Lose their haunting license?
Nothing. Oh, sir, my cake is done. Would you like some? It's devil's food.
No, thanks. I'll skip it.
With nuts?
Julia, walk me to the door.
Well, of course, Rick.
I'll leave you with Kane, Walt. Tell him a ghost story. Feeling all right, baby?
Oh, yes. Much better. I'm fine now that I know there's nothing to be afraid of. Tomorrow I'll be moving into an apartment. Will you come and see me? We have things to talk over.
Like what, honey?
Like sharing a mood. You know, just the two of us.
With that, she reached up and showed me what she meant with a big smoochie. Oh, I'd have probably stuck around, but I was afraid the house would be too disturbing. I wouldn't have minded having to get up to chase the bats out of the room, but with Kane showing up every time I wanted something, well, that could have led to complications. So I left Walt and Otis to clean things up, bid a not too fond farewell to Kane, and went from the House of Horror to the one that was full of Redhead and the piano. The Redhead was wearing a red dress with a new, you know what I mean.
Well, didn't think you were going to make it.
I had a tough case tonight, honey. Thought I might not get away at all.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet you did.
Why, Helen, baby, all of a sudden you sound suspicious.
Without any effort, darling. Especially when it comes to blondes.
Blondes? You mean girls?
Girls. Blonde girls with hair like this on your lapel.
Oh.
And the lipstick on your cheek and the look in your eye.
Oh, you know how it is, honey. Brilliant detective saves client's life and fortune. She had to be grateful.
Brilliant detective. You keep on making me so jealous of you, and one of these days the world is going to lose a brilliant detective.
No. Someone going to rub out Sam Spade?
Oh, what's the use?
Oh, now, baby, don't be mad. Come on, let's next.
No. I'm upset and I'm unhappy.
If I sing, will you be happy again?
No, no.
Well, I'll try. I'll sing my rude old head off. I need your love so badly. I love you oh so madly. But I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you. I thought at last I'd found you, but other love surround you, and I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you. If you'll surrender just for a tender kiss or two, you might discover that I'm the lover meant for you, and I'd be true. But what's the good of scheming? I know I must be dreaming, but I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you.
You sang nice.
Do we, Nick?
No. No, it's still early enough to catch a late show.
Well, if I take you to the show?
Yes.
Okay. What's the show you want to see?
Oh, it's a wonderful horror picture full of spooks. The Ghost Talk.
Oh, no, no, no.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Joan Banks, Paul Frees, and Robert Clark. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Portions were transcribed. Tonight's story was written by Herb Purdom and edited and directed by Blake Edwards. Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Tal Avery, inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. What's on NBC tomorrow? There's great comedy in store for you on the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show when Phil and Frankie go shopping for Alice's Christmas present. And there's excellent drama on Theater Guild on the air. Tomorrow, Richard Conte, Diana Lynn, and Shirley Booth will be starred in the Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Street Scene, on Theater Guild on the air.
That's Case Closed for this week. I'll be back next Wednesday with more. Between now and then, you can find past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, and everything Relic Radio at relicradio.com. Find links there to our Shoutcast stream, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, and the donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by InfoRelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.